I believe change is something we all need. It's an ongoing part of life. Change is a regular occurrence in life, whether we want it or not, it happens. Essentially, change is the new norm, but people's spiritual lives call for more than slight changes to the calendar. Their lives are in need of transformation. Once Dr. Billy Graham said, "While some books inform and others reform, only the Bible can transform." What do you think when you think of a better or transformed life? Some people are chasing after a better transformed life according to the worldly standards. The world throws up various methods to transform people's lives. The advertisements say, if I use certain products, I'll be a new man or a new woman. Some people think that when they fall in love, that transforms them. Yes, I believe it can do for a while. Some say it is education that transforms. If we could educate people, we could change our society. So we have educated people, and now we have smarter criminals, cyber crimes and all. All of this is, to a greater extent, hopelessly superficial transformation. Can you actually take any person and make the person good? Can a shattered, broken relationship be put back together as good as new or even better? There is no outside force that can change a person. None. You know why? Because most people don't have an external problem. They have an internal problem. We cannot transform people on the outside. It's got to be something on the inside. Only God can do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here." God is in the business of transforming lives. And human beings cannot do on their own. On their own abilities, accomplishments, and so on. We are not trying to conjure up transformation. St. Paul gives us the key in today's reading. How we can have this transformed life. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." These verses are powerful. They are densely packed and require that we examine them carefully. So how can our lives be changed, enhanced, or enriched? The first characteristic of this change is pretty simple. It is possible. It is possible. Not on our own strength, might, or wisdom, accomplishments, but through God. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This change is possible. The Apostle Paul appeals and urges his readers. In fact, he gives them an imperative, a command. Be transformed. The very fact that it is there shows that this change, this transformation is possible for all. Now I want you to consider the term "be transformed." The word for transformation in Greek, the original language, is metamorpho. I guess you recognize the English equivalent pretty quickly. Metamorphosis. The word metamorphosis means to change from one form to another form. The dictionary says to change from an immature form to a mature or adult form in distinct stages. It describes a complete change, a thorough change like that of a caterpillar undergoing a metamorphosis to change into a butterfly. Or a tadpole has its metamorphosis into a frog. It goes through distinct changes to go from an immature to a mature form. This same word, metamorpho, is also used to describe Jesus' appearance on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. So used here in this text in the Greek New Testament, it describes a profound, radical change in the inner you. It's the same word Apostle Paul used in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when he wrote, "We are being transformed into the same image like his from glory to glory." We are being transformed into his likeness. It's that inward, profound change that occurs. Change is possible if we are willing. Even if we have failed, even if we have fallen, even if we have fluttered, change is still possible. Choice, because choice is possible. It's within us and we are to live toward it. This change is personal. It has to be something that you are involved in, and that happens personally with you. Nobody can do it for you. St. Paul says, present your bodies as living sacrifice. Notice that we are the ones who have to make this presentation of our bodies to the Lord. God will not do it for us. There is a part we need to play. We need to make a commitment. We cannot have someone lay hands on us to impart this commitment to us. It's intentional. We need to respond to the call of God. We have to open the door of our hearts. He is knocking at the door. We have to give our bodies to God as living sacrifices daily. As living sacrifices? Wait a minute. This sounds like a contradiction in terms. How can we be living sacrifices when sacrifices are always dead? This is speaking of the fact that offering ourselves to God is not just a one-time deal. We have to die to our own worldly desires daily. This has to be a living, ongoing commitment to the Lord. This change is personal experience. It's results of a personal response to God. And it is a process. It takes time. It is a process, just like for a tadpole to become a frog takes time. In verse 1, Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Notice that the appeal that Apostle Paul is making is based upon something that has said before. "I appeal to you, therefore." And I guess many of you know when the word therefore comes, we need to look at what happened at the back. I remember hearing this rule of interpretation when I was in the theological college. And it is the good rule. Whenever you encounter the word therefore in a text, you should stop to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore. You don't begin a thought with a therefore. You are referring back to a previous thought. So Paul has just said 11 chapters of doctrine, 11 chapters of truth. Most of Paul's letters you can divide into two halves, almost down the middle. Ephesians is a good example, chapters 1 to 3 and chapters 4 to 6. And the difference between the first half and the second half of Paul's letter is this. The first half is a doctrine, the second half is a duty. The first half is about the principles of Christian life, the second half is about the practice. The first half is about what we believe, and the second half is about how we behave. Creed and conduct should go hand in hand. And we know what we've been doing. We've been reading the book of Romans for the past many Sundays. And it is for us. The word therefore in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 indicates that what the apostle is about to command is based upon something that has been said before. It's as if Paul is saying, now, based upon all that I have said to you concerning your salvation in Christ Jesus, I plead with you, I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to live in this way. That's the thought of this passage. Now, how does this happen if we really want to live a transformed life? He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. One of the translations says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. The word that is translated confirmed has to do with confirmation that is malleable, that can change from day to day or year to year. The person who is conformed to this world is free to embrace the next popular philosophy or fad at will. Being conformed to this world is rather like being a leaf blown by the wind, never knowing exactly where you are going next or why. The word that is translated transformed, however, is quite different. That involves transformation at the core of one's being. If being conformed would leave us adrift like a leaf, being transformed leaves us with feet on the ground, anchored, steady. Paul is calling us not to be caught up in every new fad or wafted by every breeze, but instead to let the Spirit transform us at our core so that we can have a faith strong enough to maintain course in spite of the gusting winds of popular opinion. There are many molds in this world. They want us to fit in them. In a sense, worship is not just a Sunday adventure, but an everyday sacrificial practice. The way Christians live their lives in today's world should be one embracing worship both within and outside of the church building. In the context of Paul's theology and practical life applications, remember that transformation is both an event and a process. For example, birth is an event. Growing up is a process. The new birth in Christ is an event. You come to Christ, you give your life to Christ, you are saved in a moment of time. Now comes the transformational process. It takes time. The first is salvation. The second is sanctification, getting holy by the renewing of our minds daily through the Word of God, reading and practicing the Word of God. In simple words, Jesus died for us, that's the creed, that's the faith we have, and the least that we can do is to live for Him. The practice, the implementation. May God bless us all. In the name of God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.